So we'll get back to Carson next half hour. Let's talk about stories of the week. Sure. This week, you brought a guest with you, and I think one of the things we should probably talk about is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, 1973. And again, we harken back. The question of Roe v. Wade had nothing to do with the woman's rights or any of the PR stuff that's spun since then. The question before the Supreme Court was, when does life begin, and have we made any medical breakthroughs since 1973 in the last 31 years that answers that question any further? And if so, we better go back and look at the decision.
Well, there's a lot of it out there. And I did bring along a friend, Don Eden, is a blogger based out of New York, writes a lot on the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage. She's actually, her background's very interesting and varied, and you'll see that on her website at doneden.com.
So just like your blog guru?
Yes, actually.
Were you blogging before blogging was cool, Don?
I was indeed. Yes, if you go to doneden.com, the first thing you'll see is my personal page, but you'll see a link to the Dawn Patrol. That's my blog where I'm the bane of Planned Parenthood and Narrow.
People can, through blogging, specialize in certain areas. And I think one of the things about blogging in the World Wide Web is, you know, there's so much talk, Dawn, about people saying, well, you know, if I had a talk show, I'd use my influence this way. And I'm not so certain that the elections of 2004, yes, I think ultimately was about the majority, the silent majority awakening. The majority of America believes abortion is murder. The majority of Americans, and well, 95% of us, are still heterosexual, regardless of what you see and read on television. And the majority of Americans, 70%, believe homosexuality is sin. So I think issue by issue, some lines were crossed, trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, trying to have gay marriage, and judges really, and I think we're going to learn this in our civics class, doing what their check and balance branch of government should ever do, create law. They were meant to defend and interpret law. But I think, you know, people get a cause, and you don't have to wait to have a talk show. In fact, I'm not so certain these bloggers don't have as much or more influence. But you're passionate about something, you've studied yourself, approved about something, and thanks to the Internet, legitimately, you got an outlet for it.
Absolutely, and that's the wonderful thing. For instance, I mentioned to you before the show Planned Parenthood's teen website, TeenWire. I've done a lot of work exposing that site for people who don't know what it is. They think that it's a safe place where their children can get information about sex. Now, as I mentioned to you, much or most of what I've exposed about TeenWire, I can't say on a morning.
Actually, I don't mind you saying it at all. In fact, I really think the solution is that every American has to deal with this issue.
Absolutely.
Look, I believe firmly this generation of believers are responsible for this generation of souls, meaning I may never have an abortion, my wife may never have an abortion, but murder of 1.2 million babies is happening on my watch, and I believe we're going to be accountable, responsible, and thus condemnable for it. So you better have an opinion on this. Murder's happening around you, and you're not jumping in to stop it. I don't think that, you know, gets you out of the realm of responsibility. So I think, you know, one of the things I'm working with a congressman on is I think every woman that makes a choice to have an abortion should see an ultrasound first. And I think every American, before they ever form an opinion and buy in that it has something to do with a woman's body, needs to see the picture of an aborted fetus. You should hear the procedure we call abortion and what we do in the name of choice. So I don't mind you being blunt. And if they vomit, good. Some baby got sucked apart and is never going to have a life. That's a small price to pay, and if they want to turn the channel, they can turn the channel. As far as I'm concerned, past, present, and future, they're going to stand someday before perfect holy God and be accountable. So, but again, we looked at this website, and the abortion topic, you're already off to a great year, not just the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, but you know, just some of the other hot topics, Planned Parenthood. It turns out, by Consumer Reports, who is now lending legitimacy to abortion as a contraceptive, mind-boggling to me, but they give the most faulty of condoms. And then they turn around and benefit from it. Because when your condom fails, I'll give you the abortion. It's a $1 billion industry.
And Planned Parenthood, actually, even though they're supposedly a non-profit, they made a profit last year. It's in their annual report. I believe it's something like $36 million.
$36 million.
Exactly.
So, and here they are before Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Here they are coming into schools freely. Here they are recognized as a politically correct, legitimate agency that is out there. And they're murderers. They're murderers. The Tulsa World featured them. I used it in a chapter of my book. And publicized a fundraiser they were doing. These people are behind abortion. This particular website you're talking about and what the message is when they get into
it's
our
school.
It's
just do it. That's what I tell people on my site. TeenWire's message is just do it. Planned Parenthood spreads the idea of choice through TeenWire by making choice, not just choice to have an abortion, but the choice to have sex very early in life. Children as young as 6 years old can register on TeenWire. I mean, children even younger than six can theoretically register because they don't check age.
But do you think they're fair in all their... I mean, again, I'm all for abstinence. I think that's apparent. But are they even fair about it? I mean, it's like Consumer Reports. What appalled me the most was they didn't tell you about the women who go back and find after the fact that we have made medical advances. We do know that babies' neurological and spinal development causes them to feel their arms and legs and head being cut off. A woman that has an abortion and makes that choice finds out 8 years later, oh my gosh, it did feel all that. Then they have psychological. They don't tell them they could be infertile and they have a high risk of infertility. They don't tell them they have a higher risk of breast cancer. So are they even fair with their judgment? It's like you give a side of homosexuality without giving the other side of it. Somebody find me a homosexual who's happy and can stay with anybody more than 4 years. At least we heterosexuals make it to the 7 year itch. Can anybody show me that has made the choice to be gay that doesn't have AIDS or an unfulfilling life to show for it? So I would ask you a question that probably most people never ask you, and that is their message even fair in saying, yeah, it's okay to be gay, yeah, it's okay to have an abortion? Is it giving you all sides of that choice?
Absolutely not. One of my biggest peeves, if you can even call it such a small thing as a peeve, about Teen Wire is the fact that Teen Wire never talks about the emotional impact of sex. It makes it seem like you can do anything at any age, and the only thing you have to do to protect yourself is to wear latex. It doesn't talk about protecting your heart.
You know, Don, the day I looked at Teen Wire, I only looked at it one day, and I was absolutely appalled. For instance, one of these topics was how to discover whether or not you're heterosexual or homosexual. I mean, here you got 10-year-old kids on the web trying to figure out whether or not they're gay or straight, and it tells you the questions to ask yourself. The other site was how to properly use a condom. It had a picture of a penis on there. An absolute picture of it. It showed a little video of how to apply
right,
the condom.
Right.
I mean, that's not appropriate for these little kids to be going. And people do not understand how destructive that is. They don't know that Teen Wire promotes that kind of stuff.
And it happens in a classroom, which in some way creates a double credibility or a double standard or a more credible standard. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's that way. This is what your parents are going to tell you. This is what Sunday school is going to tell you. But come on.
We'll
live in a relativist culture. There's no absolute truth. Everybody's got to make their own mind up. You know, and I think there's a law of diminishing returns. The minute I'll never forget the exact moment I said it. There is no right or wrong left in our culture. Katie, bar the doors. Here it goes. So we would be all up in arms at Ellen with a tongueless kiss on a sitcom. That's what we surrounded ourselves with. That's what the outrage was over. Look what's come since. Unnoticed, unspoken of. So it's what it opens the door to. What they do is they come in to very influential young minds. They say there is no right or wrong. They shove homosexuality, promiscuity,
and they circumvent parental authority. Even on that one day I looked, they told you, look, if you're a teenager and you're pregnant and your parents are not going to let you have an abortion or you don't want to tell your parents, here are the people to call where you can get out-of-state abortions.
Ultimately, what it sets up is the next generation won't even know it's wrong. Like right now, there's a great book called Spiritual Breakthroughs, The Lesson of the Three Chairs by Bruce Wilkinson. Everyone should read it. But there's a generation that knows absolute truth, believes absolute truth. There's another generation that knows absolute truth in its source, but lives in compromise. There's a third one that has no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. I think we're entering that third chair, and it's a dangerous chair for our kids. They will live out in adulthood and pass on to their next generation absolute moral chaos. Will they not? And we can thank Planned Parenthood for a huge role.
We can, which is why I expose it. Actually, if you go to my main site, doneden.com, and you don't click through to my blog, but just scroll down, you'll see a set of links to entries of mine about Teen Wire. That'll give you a good introduction to it.
So, in essence, the truth about the real agenda behind Planned Parenthood. They'll talk a good game. They're doing a very destructive work. How do you put it into perspective? Why is it so important that we stop aborting babies?
Why is it so important? It's all about having a culture of life, a culture that respects people at every stage of life.
You're my kind of girl, Don. You get it. Isn't that the choice before us? Are we going to be a culture of death or a culture of life?
That's it.
How important is it we get the question of when life begins right if we're ever going to get when it should end right? Kids are going to be putting their parents to sleep like we take the dog. I mean, that's where we're headed.
And with this whole thing about the FDA and emergency contraception, but Planned Parenthood and the other abortion rights supporters have been redefining the idea of when a pregnancy begins. Before, pregnancy began at fertilization. Now they've redefined it arbitrarily at implantation, just so that they can say that the so-called Plan B, the morning after pill, is not abortion.
So it's the truth that sets us free, and your blog's all about the truth.
That's right.
Ultimately, what's the next step? I think things like informed consent and parental consent are not a concession. I think they're a nice first step. The bottom line is parental consent is not a woman's right to choose movement anti. It's a pro-parenting bill. Why is it a kid? Why does a kid need permission from a parent to get an aspirin, but then go have an abortion?
That's
I mean, it just makes no sense. Informed consent. If I go have a wart removed, tell me the age of my wart. Tell me what you're going to do. What are the ramifications? Can I get an infection afterwards? Everything is done except for that with abortion. So we want informed consent. Why is it the death choice must be made? I mean, everything in Planned Parenthood, everything in the abortion clinics, everything we fight legislatively through lobbyists and through legislation, it's as though that death choice has to be made. Look, if you're just pro-choice, what do you care if they get a little information before the procedure? If you're pro-choice, what do you care if the parents are involved in making that decision with a minor? It must be the death choice or they're not satisfied. How do you explain that?
Oh, well, we saw this in the Bible with Moloch. The demon god, where parents believed that the only way for them to survive was to sacrifice their children. Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, was a eugenicist, and she believed that the poor people, the minorities who were having babies, were creating a terrible environment for the good, well off white people, and so she put the Planned Parenthood in the poorest neighborhoods and minority neighborhoods, and people need to understand what's going on. There's a good website called blackgenocide.org that talks about it. It has articles on Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, not articles that are just screaming, but very well-researched, well-footnoted articles where people can get the truth on
it. I got to get rid of you before I fall in love. Closing moments with Don Eden. And Michael, don't sweat it. We're going to do your segment at 7:10.
Okay.
How is it? We don't live in a democracy. Our founding fathers were not interested in 50% plus one. They knew what that led to. They weren't interested in a monarchy. They've been there. They've done that. How is it in a representative republic under God through a democratic vote, can you have a stat like 70%, I believe it was, nationwide, it was as high as 80%, I believe, in Oklahoma, are against abortion? They believe it's murder. They believe life begins at conception. John Kerry, throughout his campaign, said, I believe life begins at conception. Personhood begins with a slap on the fanny. How is it in a representative republic under Almighty God can the majority of people, grand majority, believe one thing and the law state another?
Because the minority are teaching that in order to be tolerant, you have to not only allow for the possibility of the existence of another point of view, but that you have to give into the point of view. They use guilt and other methods, and they also trust that the people who are in the majority will not be as politically active, or will not see or understand the need to be politically active in making their voices heard.
I think he was a schmo, but how is it that in the Peterson case, two people died and not one? I mean, how do you look at the moral, legal inconsistencies we have in courtrooms across the nation? Had Lacey killed Connor, he wouldn't have had a name. It would have simply been a choice. Protected.
I think
Scott
people
does
are realizing
it. It's a double murder. I mean, are we leading up to where the Supreme Court's going to have to take another look at this?
Oh, yes. And Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe, is going to the Supreme Court now because she's trying to get them to reverse the decision. And people are beginning to realize the inconsistencies, and it's up to people like you, people in the blog world, and other conservatives who care about life to get the message out.
It's brick by brick, my fellow citizens. It's everybody in a living republic standing up and stopping this. President Bush applauding the anti-abortion march in Washington today, calling it a noble cause.
God bless him.
He'll be phoning the activists later today to voice his support. What does it mean? Why is it so important to have a president who's pro-life? And I think specifically with the judges, and we saw Judge Rehnquist, some would say two, some would say three. Others would say as many as four judges may be appointed by the time George W. in his second term, maybe the most significant thing this president will do, leave the Supreme Court different than he found it.
Oh, from your lips to God's ear.
Yeah, well, that's the prayer anyway. All right, again, it's DawnEden.com. And should we spell it? D-A-W-N, I would assume.
Yes, E-D-E-N. E-D-E-N. That's right. And you click through to the Dawn Patrol for my blog, or scroll down for links to some of my Teen Wire posts.
And make no mistake about it, the problem and the flaw that is in our government is that the citizens don't hold its representatives accountable. That's overwhelmingly what's wrong. Secondarily, this is a billion-dollar industry, and money talks.
That's right. I think you're getting down to the bottom of it right there.
Don, good to meet you.
Oh, great to meet you, too.
As I always say, give them hell.
Thank you. You, too.
And take it back for the kingdom. 7 a.m. Fox Q News is next, then a visit with Michael Bates. I got 1, 2, 3 local Adam bombs. They will literally be the story of the year. We'll go through them next.
This is the Michael Giorgino Show. Michael Del Giorno, Glenn Beck, Tony Snow, Fox News, standing up for what's right. Tulsa's Talk Radio 1170, KFAQ.
Hi, Michael Del.